The Fall of the United States: How Prophetic End-Time Events Bring Down the World's Greatest Superpower and Ignite World War III by Ronald Wineland. Chapter 1. Is the World Going Mad? Have you ever felt that the world is going mad? People can no longer coexist with one another. Corporations are trying to make money at the expense of others. Nations are edging closer and closer to war. The world is increasingly becoming more chaotic, and peace seems to be so far off. The ability to work together to resolve differences has all but disappeared. Drama has taken on a new meaning as conflict is being acted out in people's lives with rapidly increasing tension, stress, frustration, misery, and unhappiness. Drama is becoming a way of life as dissension is being stirred up and conversations consist of an apparent need to share one's misery and dissatisfaction in life with others. Much of this very negative effect on human life is the result of an accelerating dependency on technology. The ability to quickly and widely disperse the spread of information and ideas is growing out of control. In turn, this has enabled the escalation of drama that is more easily and more readily finding its way into people's lives. Many find the result to be overwhelming, and they are unable to cope with the impact that it's wreaking on their daily lives. Few seem to grasp how these things are changing society in a way that is taking peace and calm out of our lives. These rapid changes, taking place in society, are a direct result of mankind's inability to adjust to such fast growth in the advancement of technology. Since this technology is new, we do not have any precedent for how to use it properly. Little thought about our health and well-being is considered with its development. This, in turn, is having a very negative impact on human life, one that is not being readily recognized for the depth of danger that actually exists. Slaves to technology? For thousands of years, mankind moved forward slowly in its understanding of science and of the world itself, as well as the life that is on it. It has been until the last 150 years that real accelerated growth in the mastery of mathematics, engineering, physics, astronomy, and chemistry have begun to truly take hold. This has had a huge impact on human life. Especially over the past 70 years, technology has consistently been increasing in its momentum and is having a larger impact on the way we live. Technology has produced a very positive impact on the quality of human life. But along with this, the misuse of technology has also been thrusting its way forward, and it is having a very negative impact on society. The rate at which these changes occur has been growing so rapidly that society is finding that it cannot keep up. As a result, the ability to adequately address technology's negative impact on people's lives is sorely lacking. Just pause and consider how so many are seemingly becoming slaves to technology. The use and often misuse of cell phones is a perfect example. The internet and apps allow for an endless array of ways to control every aspect of life. The need for this constant contact is becoming addictive. This should come as no surprise as software developers are constantly manipulating people's behaviors to keep us glued to their products for the longest time possible, and in return, they make more money. Addicted users can easily be spotted as they walk around like zombies, unable to look away from their phones. Some cross in front of traffic because they cannot see the car or truck heading toward them. Others can be spotted behind the wheel of a car, unable to move forward when the traffic light turns green because the urge to engage with their phone is just too strong. Sadly, entire families have also been transformed into tech junkies. They can easily be observed in just about any restaurant, sitting in complete silence as each member dives deep into their own hole in cyberspace. Through Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, and many other venues for social media, drama is being shared on levels never remotely experienced in ages past. People's lives are becoming captive to these seductive creations of modern technology. As a result, the diminishing exchange of shared life experiences in live, face-to-face contact is creating a need for the dependency of the human mind to be fed with steady flows of information. This is actually robbing people of rewarding life experiences and of the potential for a far more meaningful and enjoyable social life. The sharing of life through technology is not the same as learning and experiencing how to live life through sharing with others on a personal plane, through face-to-face relationships. There is a great difference between the two. Those who develop a dependency on such media find a growing dissatisfaction with life. Hopefully, the COVID-19 pandemic has helped more people to appreciate the difference. This dependency can easily begin to cause individuals to become less sensitive and caring toward others. It can create a numbness and an inconsiderate mindset toward others. This inward retreat into oneself produces greater selfishness and drama in life, and the ways of calm and peace become more obscure. These distinctions are clearly escaping the attention and understanding of these tech addicts, most of whom do not even realize the extent of their usage. The result is producing a world where not just individuals, but communities, organizations, and even nations are turning inward. This only produces accelerating divisiveness, contention, disagreement, and social unrest between people. The result is drama on a level that has never remotely been experienced before, and the world isn't able to deal with it. It has spiraled out of control, and indeed, the world is going mad. Today, the concepts of mutual compromise, making concessions, searching for agreeable middle ground, give and take, or finding a happy medium seem nearly foreign. It is as though these concepts have become a lost art. Yet, it is through such learned practices that people can grow closer together and thereby work out differences that can then produce rewarding results in life. Reaping what we sow. If life wasn't confusing enough, now we have terms like woke, cancel culture, and cultural appropriation that we must familiarize ourselves with for fear of otherwise offending others, perhaps being rejected, or of even being attacked. We find we are being increasingly pressured to fit into a specific mold of how to act and what to speak about or not speak about. An environment that pressures others to be in agreement or disagreement with them tends to only widen the gap that works to alienate and divide society even more. Peaceful or calm conversation with others who hold different ideas or opinions is becoming rare. Instead, society and nations are rapidly moving inward into a spirit of heightened selfishness and egotistical behavior. Too many want their own way and will slander, demean, ridicule, resist, mock, fight, tear down, fiercely debate, and attack anyone or anything that gets in the way of what it is they want. What others want is simply dismissed and not even considered. Since COVID-19 struck, a downward spiral has sped up this negative process that is producing division and discontent throughout every nation. This has also produced an even greater dependency on social media. The exceedingly bad news is that this is only going to get worse, much, much worse, before it will begin to change. Just over the last year, there has been a dramatic shift away from what anyone could truly classify as peace. Instead, we see rapidly rising discontent, disagreement, division, chaos, lawlessness, crime, suicide, murder, drug addiction, abuse and misuse of power, oppression, etc. Yes, the world is moving toward madness. This rapidly veering shift away from peace in the world is being witnessed by change that is clearly moving the thinking and actions of many toward extremism. Moderation is needed to bring opposing sides together in order to more effectively work out differences. However, the news today only reports on the extremes of both sides, because that is what causes people to react and respond emotionally. This, in turn, results in people's emotions controlling them. Therefore, they tend to move farther into the extreme right, extreme left, or the extreme on whatever position is being taken. Algorithms used by social media further intensify this push to the extremes by uniting people with similar views and excluding those with opposing views. When people are only exposed to a one-sided conversation, the potential balancing benefit of different views and ideas is eliminated. This tends to polarize society and create further extremism on both sides. As a result, more people are being unwittingly moved into a position of choosing sides. Once this happens, the natural inclination is to not back down. This, too, is exactly what is happening on an international scale between nations, which is then producing an environment of confrontation between nations that is creating a new era of saber-rattling. It is not possible to close your eyes and hope everything changes soon or that it will simply just go away. Instead, we need to understand that there is a cause for all that is going on, and it is affecting everyone. No one can hide, even though some may try. The world is beginning to reap what it has sown over the past few decades. Due to the growing misuse of ever-evolving technology, we are witnessing a dangerous change in society that is leading the world into a horrifying war. Warned for over 70 years. What the world is now witnessing and experiencing is a rapid movement toward a prophesied Third World War. There are few in the world today who are actually aware of world events and news that affect trends, thinking, world trade, economies, international relations, and the steady movement toward a world war. For over 70 years now, there have been forewarnings of very specific end-time events that would come to pass, which would lead into a Third World War. Many of these pronouncements were about major events to occur in Europe, and they have been taking place exactly as one man foretold. Let's consider what began to be said about this coming war back in early 1950, right after World War II. It was perfectly predicted how there would be four major events that would occur in Western Europe, which would lead up to the beginning of World War III. Three have come to pass, and the construct of the last one has now been recently reported in European news. It was stated that Germany would rise in world power as the leading nation of the United European Nations. This seemed totally ludicrous, nonsensical, to so many who heard it, especially considering the devastation that had just been wreaked upon Germany by the Allied forces. Yet this man explained how, 1. Europe, with Germany at its helm, would rise up again in a union of nations that would have, 2. A common government, 3. A common currency, and 4. A final military union that would consist of exactly 10 European nations. Think of how absurd it must have appeared to so many that a time when, right after World War II, a man was saying that Germany, a nation reduced to rubble, was going to rise again and be at the forefront of a united Europe. This seemed so preposterous that this individual was indeed highly ridiculed and dismissed by most who heard these predictions. How could anyone be taken seriously by proclaiming such things back at the time after such a horrible war had just been fought between the Allies and the Axis powers of Germany, Italy, and Japan? Millions had lost their lives. Yet, after these things were predicted to come to pass, it was 7 years later, in March of 1957, that France, West Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg signed the Treaty of Rome to establish the European Economic Community, the EEC, also known as the Common Market. This eventually transformed into the development of the European Union that exists today. This man stated that these forewarnings were end-time prophecies that God had revealed to him. So again, the question should be asked, how could a person predict something so seemingly incredulous that is now proven to be so absolutely true? Although many people mocked and ridiculed what he claimed were end-time events that would lead up to World War III, these events he predicted continued to come to pass as he said they would. Although he did see Europe come together in a cooperative governmental structure in 1957, it wasn't until 13 years after his death that Europe introduced the currency of the euro to the world in 1999. This European Union grew to be 28 nations, and only recently has Great Britain opted out of that union. So far, 19 of the 27 member states of the European Union have adopted the euro as their official currency. Then, 32 years after his death in 2018, Europe entered into a unified military agreement among 10 nations, which is the exact number he also foretold would come to pass. The following are excerpts from The Week magazine, dated 8 November 2018, in the article entitled, Emmanuel Macron Unveils European Defense Coalition. A coalition of 10 European militaries ready to defend the continent's borders has been unveiled in Paris, just days after Emmanuel Macron called for a real European army. Reuters reports that the European Intervention Initiative took official shape in Paris after months of negotiation with Germany, who France wants at the center of the force. The imminent departure from the EU of Britain, long opposed to EU military collaboration outside NATO, has revived talk of defense cooperation, as have concerns that Trump might prove less willing than his predecessors to come to Europe's defense in the face of a newly assertive Russia. Macron's push to bring together a core 10-nation coalition of the willing was born out of French impatience with the EU's efforts at a defense cooperation known as Permanent Structured Cooperation, PESCO, says The Economist. Coming just days after Macron called for a real European army to reduce dependence on the United States, and with the vocal support of senior figures in Brussels, the coalition agreement will once again be raising the specter of a European army. This final major prediction concerning a uniting military force within Europe has much to do with other future events, since much of what will come to pass centers around Europe's involvement in this last great war. But before proceeding, it needs to be asked, how could anyone make such predictions that early on that seem so ludicrous to most people? How could anyone give such forewarnings that were so exact concerning what would come to pass in Europe? This in itself should cause people to stand up and take notice, because it was explained that after these events would come to pass, the next thing to follow is a nuclear war. So now, just how close is that war? The predictions of those four major events for Europe have actually proven to be true and have come to pass over a period of nearly 70 years now. But what is even more important is the matter of how people have responded. That response has much to do with the purpose of why this book is being written. And although those prognostications have occurred exactly as they were given, there are many more warnings concerning predictions that are now coming to pass and even escalating. Prophecies about Europe given 2,500 years ago. In the Bible, the prophet known as Daniel had prophetic revelations given to him that are directly tied to what was revealed to this man nearly 70 years ago about Europe. It was nearly 2,500 years ago, after the nation of Judah was conquered and the people were taken into captivity in Babylon, that Daniel began to have many prophetic things revealed to him that have come to pass in the rise and fall of kingdoms and nations ever since. The coming together of these final 10 nations of Europe actually began to be revealed when Daniel was given to interpret a troublesome dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The dream was about a great statue that was constructed of different metals throughout. Only Daniel was found who could tell him what his dream was and what it meant. It was on this occasion when Nebuchadnezzar had called upon Daniel to interpret the dream. Daniel replied by letting him know that there was no one who had any such ability to reveal what his dream was about, not even him. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded cannot be declared to the king by the wise men, astrologers, magicians, or the soothsayers. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Daniel 2:27-28. God used this dream to reveal through Daniel all the major kingdoms of the world that would lead up to the latter day, up to the very end time. The following verses explain that passage of time as Daniel began by telling the king what he saw. "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its stomach and hips of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed into dust, and it became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that no trace of them could be found. Then the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Daniel 2:31-35. In a condensed explanation, as one moves from the top of the statue to the bottom, one is moving through time, until the end time when the toes are reached. The first part of the image of gold was about the Chaldean-Babylonian Empire, of which Nebuchadnezzar was king in that present kingdom of Babylon. This was followed by the portion made of silver, which represented the Medo-Persian Empire, and after that, the bronze, being the Greco-Macedonian Empire that followed. The interpretation of the dream began with the description of the statue's head of gold being the present kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and it went on about the rise and fall of major kingdoms, empires, through time. It ended with the fourth portion of the statue, which was uniquely described as being legs of iron with feet of both iron and clay. This represented the last great kingdom that would go through several revivals in Europe. A statue with feet of iron and clay is not a good mixture for supporting such a large figure. Yet the legs of iron and the feet of iron mixed with clay describe so very well the struggle that has gone on for hundreds of years in Europe. Much of its pertinent history carried the identity of the Roman Empire, and later, the Holy Roman Empire. Its history fits succinctly into prophecy that describes it in several places of Scripture. Daniel was given to know that the lower part of the statue was about a future kingdom that would lead up to events that would change the world in the latter days. Although it was revealed to Daniel that this statue was about future kingdoms that would rule, the identity of those kingdoms was not yet known. The knowledge of who those kingdoms were throughout history and the knowledge of how modern-day Europe is identified in this statue was, in turn, revealed to this man, who foretold these events that have now come to pass. This man knew these things because of these and other prophetic warnings that he came to see and believe concerning the end time, events that were revealed to him by God. There is no other way to know and predict the things he said so accurately, so perfectly, other than the fact that it had come from God. Just as Daniel stated to Nebuchadnezzar, no human has such ability. So who was this man? The man who began warning about a third world war and of those specific events that would transpire in Europe was Herbert W. Armstrong. Before his death in 1986, he had been responsible for publishing tens of millions of books, booklets, and magazines that contained much information about the end time. The Plain Truth magazine alone was being published in 7 languages with a monthly circulation of over 8.2 million copies. At that time, by comparison, the well-known and highly circulated Time magazine only had a circulation of 5.9 million. His weekly television program, The World Tomorrow, along with his radio broadcasts, blanketed the United States and large portions of the rest of the world. The reach and scope of this coverage was far more than any other religious organization had ever done or has done since. It is interesting to see how others in the world recognized that there was something unique and meaningful in what he was saying. However, he was treated far differently in the United States, where he lived and worked, than how he was by many other nations. His recognition from people in other areas of the world primarily began when he received a very unique award from King Leopold III of Belgium. It was a watch made from a cannonball taken from a battlefield in World War I by Leopold's father, King Albert I. King Albert had the cannonball cast into 4 watch cases with the desire that they would be presented to the 4 individuals that he felt had made the most significant contribution to world peace. King Albert never found anyone he felt worthy to receive the 4th watch, and so he passed it on to his son, who was moved to give it to Herbert Armstrong in 1970. From that time forward, recognition of Herbert Armstrong from other world leaders grew, and he became known to many as an ambassador without portfolio for world peace. He carried his message to Prince Mikasa and a number of the members of the Japanese Diet. Emperor Hirohito conferred upon Herbert Armstrong the Order of the Sacred Treasure, 2nd class, one of the highest decorations that can be presented to a non-Japanese. During a period that covered 2 decades, 7 successive Japanese prime ministers counted Herbert Armstrong as a personal friend and counselor. Some members of the Japanese Diet even referred to themselves as being his Japanese sons. Although these leaders showed great admiration for Herbert Armstrong, none of them acted upon the end-time warnings he proclaimed. Herbert Armstrong was endeared in friendship with King Hussein of Jordan, King Bahumibol Adulaji, and Queen Sirikit of Thailand, and prime ministers of Israel, including Golda Meir and Menachem Begin. Others who counted him as a personal friend were Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, Jomo Kenyatta, founder and first president of Kenya, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, Mayor Teddy Kollek of Jerusalem, and longtime friend Nagendra Singh, who was a justice at the World Court in The Hague, Netherlands. Herbert Armstrong also had personal meetings with leaders like Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of the United Kingdom, Juan Carlos, the King of Spain, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, and Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. Yet again, of all these world leaders, none acted upon the message he carried. President Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines decorated Mr. Armstrong with the Presidential Merit Medal for his moral presence and compelling influence in moving people toward the creation of a just and peaceful world order. He received the decoration of Commander of our Most Noble Order of the Crown of Thailand. Once again, neither of these leaders nor their people acted upon the warnings he carried. Other leaders with whom Herbert Armstrong met included President Allende of Chile, President Suharto of Indonesia, South Vietnam's President Nguyen Van Thieu, and he was invited to Romania by President Nicolae Ceausescu. Herbert Armstrong also met with Deng Xiaoping of the People's Republic of China and was the first recognized Christian leader to officially visit leaders inside China. Yet this went unreported in the world. In this unprecedented visit, he addressed officials from 76 nations in the People's Great Hall in Beijing. He spoke concerning the way to real peace and why humanity fails to achieve it. No other religious leader has ever been invited to such an event in China, yet the world has known nothing of this. Herbert Armstrong received numerous other honors and visited many other world leaders, but it went fully unnoticed by the Western world, to whom Herbert Armstrong said that God had sent him to proclaim his message. End-time prophecies about the USA. Herbert Armstrong not only foretold of specific events that have now been fulfilled by the European Union, but he also gave specific prognostications concerning more notable modern-day nations. The nation that has received the greatest warnings over the longest period of time is the very nation that will be the first that is prophesied to fall. Major predictions were covered in his most widely published book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Yet it is within the United States that Herbert Armstrong was looked down upon the most, as he was maligned, falsely and maliciously lied about, hated, and even persecuted by his own government. Even after more than 3.5 decades since his death, there is still much hatred and lying reflected in those things written about him. This is not all unlike what happened to Christ, who was also deeply hated by others because of the message he was sent to give mankind. It is far more about the message than it is about any individual who delivers it. Throughout history, mankind has been consistent about not wanting God to meddle in its affairs. And how is that going? Is it God who created all things and given us this incredible planet to live upon? But look at what we are doing to it, especially now through the technology that has been developed. This earth has been polluted far more over the past couple of decades than it has over the preceding several thousand years put together. With ever-burgeoning populations and such massive misuse of technology, mankind is only proving what God has said about what would happen if we continue to ignore Him. We will simply continue to destroy this creation itself. God has revealed that if He did not intervene to stop us, that we would finally end up annihilating ourselves. This ability to destroy the planet has not been possible until this present age with its explosion in technology. It is through the misuse of technology and what it can produce that mankind can destroy itself and this earth. The truth about end-time events has permeated the United States for decades, and people have not seemed to care. It needs to be stated again that Herbert Armstrong began warning of final end-time events directly after World War II. That warning went out with great power to the United States, but the people and their leaders did not show much concern about it. They did not listen. That trend of not caring and of not listening to those warnings has only worsened over the years since Herbert Armstrong died in 1986. This type of apathy has been fueled by and speeded up by rapidly growing technology that has now actually led the rest of the nations of the world into this same kind of spirit that has been permeating the United States for some time now. That spirit that produces a willing deafness toward warnings about a nuclear war for this end time is the very purpose for writing this fifth book. Four books precede this one that focus on the cataclysmic warnings of World War III that are about to engulf this world. The first book was The Prophesied End Time, which was published in June of 2004. Additional prophecies beyond what Herbert Armstrong foretold about the European Union were addressed, and they explain the truth about the end time events in Revelation, known as the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Each of those events that traditional Christianity has misunderstood about the end time and are still looking to be fulfilled have already taken place. Their fulfillment began to emerge on the world scene in 1994. Then the second book followed, which was published in 2006, and it was entitled 2008, God's Final Witness. This covered additional prophetic prognostications about two witnesses described in the book of Revelation, who will come on the world scene in a very active manner once catastrophic end-time events have actually begun. This book further describes what the seven thunders of Revelation are all about. The first great event of those thunders actually began with the 9/11 attacks, 11th of September 2001. This book also included a strong warning of a coming economic collapse, which did strike the world in 2008. Even today, economists continue to compare what is happening now to the trends of what occurred in 2008. The third book, published 10 years later in 2016, was entitled Prophesy Against the Nations, focused upon a message given by God for the end time once cataclysmic events begin. If any nation would listen to him, then he in turn would listen to them. When the Countdown Ends was the fourth book, which was published in May of 2020. That book thoroughly outlined a very specific timeline of events that have been occurring since 1994, which outline a prophesied countdown to World War III. Once this book was written, it was then becoming glaringly obvious how quickly the world had become so much worse since the second book was published in 2006. This, too, is a great sign of how close the final war is. When that fourth book concerning a specific countdown to the end of this age was published, it was rare to find any article in the news that reflected concern of a coming world war. Now, for those who do a little searching for such news around the globe, such articles can be found on a regular basis. Yet people don't seem to take notice. And they certainly don't show any deep concern or worry about it as they should. Similarly, as it was before World War II, people are mostly asleep concerning the threat of another world war. Only in this past year have some begun to show a few signs that they see movement toward such a war. It was like awakening out of a deep sleep and still being very groggy. However, people will find that it is too late at this stage to address such matters on any national level because the majority will remain asleep. Only the war itself will begin to awaken people, and with a nuclear war, that is just too late. Nuclear war is the ultimate madness. Throughout the centuries, wars have come and gone, but over the past century, war has become increasingly devastating due to the rapid development of technology. Toward the end of World War II, the world was sobered when the first two atomic bombs were dropped on Japan. It only took two of these new bombs to kill nearly 200,000 people. Those two bombs were actually very small compared to what mankind has developed since. Nuclear weapons have now been made that are nearly 4,000 times more powerful. That is very difficult to grasp, let alone to imagine the destructive capacity they contain. The first two atomic bombs sent up a mushroom cloud, each to about 25,000 feet, over 4.7 miles or 7,600 meters. In 1961, the Russians set off the Tsar Bomba, RDS-220. That sent up a mushroom cloud over 37 miles high, or 60 kilometers, and sent shock waves around the globe nearly three times over. Such power is nearly unimaginable. The flash of that detonation was seen some 620 miles away, 1,000 kilometers. An uninhabited village 34 miles, 55 kilometers away from Ground Zero, was leveled, and buildings were damaged as far away as 100 miles, 160 kilometers. Such a device could nearly level the entire city of Los Angeles or New York City. The ability to annihilate all life on Earth has not existed until the development of nuclear weapons. The world is now inching closer to using them, and mankind has always used the invention of weapons of war. Although it would seem unthinkable, nations will begin to use nuclear weapons once the first ones are unleashed upon the United States. The ultimate madness of this present age is about to manifest itself in the ultimate insanity of human thinking, as this world is plunged into a nuclear nightmare. Back in August 1945, when those two atomic bombs exploded in Japan, the world entered a new age. It was the beginning of an age that revealed what God long ago declared would eventually come to pass. It also involved much prophecy that God foretold would happen in the end time. Not of the end of mankind, but the end of one age and the dawning of a new one. More prognostications for our time now. God gave evidence to support his warnings that when specific events would come to pass in Europe, then a final world war would soon follow. Herbert Armstrong gave those warnings about what would be fulfilled in Europe before that war would begin. In addition to those preliminary end-time prophecies that have now been fulfilled, the fulfilling of several other prophecies are now to quickly follow, and some have already begun. Prophetic events that have not been recognized by this world include such things as 9/11, the economic collapse of 2008, and even the COVID-19 pandemic. These kind of events will intensify in frequency and magnitude of their impact upon every nation on Earth. Knowing that there are future events still to come which are prophesied to take place can help give much-needed strength to make it through what is now in front of us. We must first focus on some of the horrific events that are destined to come to pass and to learn more about how God is revealing them at this time. These events are even more specifically identified and outlined than those Herbert Armstrong gave concerning the rise of the European Union. The reality is that we are living in extremely volatile times. Catastrophic events are soon going to begin erupting throughout this world, regardless of what anyone thinks, believes, or does. They are going to happen just as the events concerning Europe have now come to pass. Although these prophetic events are highly unpleasant to consider, it must be understood why they must be allowed to happen before a far better world can finally emerge. Indeed, the world is in a decline and getting much worse. Revolutions and wars come and go, but nothing changes. Leaders come in and out of office, but no great changes occur that dramatically improve life. People want meaningful change, but can't seem to attain it. So why has God allowed the world to continue as it has, generation after generation? Why would he now allow for over one-third of all life to be erased from existence? Why would God allow for such destruction that is prophesied to happen in our time? What is the purpose? If this final war is not the end of mankind, then what is to follow? These are important questions that have astonishing answers, and there is good news about what is to follow.